Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Yes, let's do it. OMG, Jess, I have something really exciting to like kick things off with.
Are you preggy?
No.
With Michael Fassbender's baby?
I wish. It's something like even cooler than this that I just want to dig into real
quick. What is it? I'm scared.
It's really exciting. You're literally going to lose your mind.
What is it?
Bono was named Glamour Man of the Year.
Let me see this bullshit.
And I have the hard copy.
Let me see this. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So he's in Glamour magazine. Okay. And it's a bunch of women. And then it's Bono showing his ass in sunglasses.
He's cute.
He's wearing all black.
He's cute.
And he's standing in a field. Cool. Is there something you want me to say to you about this?
Well, it's just very exciting because in the history of Glamour's Women of the Year Awards, he is the first man because of his work.
How did he win?
Okay, so he has this campaign called Poverty is Sexist, and he's really trying to bring it. Don't roll your eyes.
I didn't.
You did. I'm looking at you. And, okay, you just did it again. And he's talking about how, like, if we want true equality, men need to step the fuck up.
Damn, that's dope.
And help women out instead of being like, we're blind.
He's like,
men, you do your fucking part to make things equal. Take less.
Yeah.
But that's exciting news.
Yeah, congrats to you and yours, Phoebe.
Thank you. My husband is, you know, he's doing great.
So what, are you going to just keep that magazine or you can just keep it open and sit next to it on your couch? Or?
I do have a lot of YouTube magazine.
Do you really?
Yes. I had to throw some out when I moved in with my ex because I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
But I still have about 4 or 5.
Oh, wow.
It's really cool. Well, that's my
exciting. Is cool the word you want to use?
Yes.
What's up? Jessica Williams here.
And it's Phoebe Lynn Robinson.
And get ready for a brand new spanking ass episode of Two Dope Queens brought to you by WNYC Studios.
Whew. Okay, you guys are not going to like what I'm about to say.
What?
But here's the tea, squirrel friends. This is the last episode of the season.
Wait, what the... This is the last episode of the season? How?
Well, we do 12 eps per season, and this is number 12. So, that's it. Like, school's out, babies. The semester's over. Figure out your summer plans. I mean, this is our second season. We fucking crushed it. The comics crushed it. The audience crushed it. It's time to drink some rosé. Break out the champers. You know what? But we're going to be back for a third season, so, like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it, y'all.
And we're going to keep dropping hot-ass bonus episodes into your feed while you wait for next season.
I'm so sad.
Don't be sad. It's like everything good comes to an end and then is reborn as something else. This is Buddhism. This is basically Buddhism.
Do you feel like our show's like Buddhism personified?
The Dalai Lama's is like pretty much like I can retire now because Two Dope Queens is like hella Buddhist.
That's fucked up. Anyway, I think I'll join you for a glass of champagne pain. Cheers to us.
Y'all, we got a killer lineup for you. I'm talking about Julia Rossi, Hannibal Buress, and Max Silvestri. Hold on to your Spanx, babies.
Let's get this party started, y'all.
How are you guys? It's very, like, romantic lighting
right,
in
like,
here.
I feel like everything's really dark. Like, I do, like, you know, we always
it's
joke.
It's dark. Why is it so dark in here?
Well, this is, like, how they do it in Hamilton, and you know we're the Hamilton of Brooklyn.
We're...
Like, Hamilton doesn't leave half the house lights on.
Okay, but also, like, we're, like, combined, we're still not Lin-Manuel Miranda.
We're, like, we're, like, on our way. You know, like, you did come out with a pizza... I came out with a glass that I thought was filled with rosé, and it wasn't.
This would never happen on
never.
Hamilton.
He's, like, working on, like, Moana right now.
Yeah. like Lynn would not come out dripping fucking pizza grease on the stage and be like, Alexander Hamilton.
You guys know what you're getting into when you buy the tickets.
Show your hair.
You should what? Show my little
yeah,
yachty
show
hair.
Your, show it. Show it. Show it. Show it. Show it. Yeah. Oh my God. I love
it. I just got it cut.
It.
I had like so many split ends.
No, this is cute.
And when I was home, I was like in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And so I sat between my aunt's legs and she like gave me 2-strand twists.
Yeah.
So now I look like Lil Yachty, the rapper.
I love it. Aww. You're like, your hair, like the way you look right now is like you're in like a black film that's like set in college. And like,
this is my college
days. You know what
days?
I mean? Like lessons will
days.
Be learned, you know? It's like, whoa, someone's dating outside of their race for the first time. Whoa.
And I'm like, take me to your parents. Boy, let me meet your parents.
I love it.
But yeah, I look like Lil Yachty. It's like, this is the trend for like some young rappers.
It's cute.
It's like a 2-strand twist from Aunt Harriet. So thank you, Aunt Harriet. I appreciate
Thanks, Aunt Hair. Can I call her that?
Yeah, she don't care. She doesn't give a fuck.
Okay, cool.
My grandma recently passed away, so I went home. But she is like the one that... She was like obviously devastated because her mom passed away, but she's also somebody who will like... hit on any young dudes around.
Nice.
Like fearlessly. And it's like, yes, Khaleesi, yes. Like my sister's like half brother who's not related to us at all.
Yeah.
Came to my grandma's wake. And my aunt was like walking around. Like she always razzes me and gives me a hard time. But I was talking to my sister's other brother and she was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I ain't seen you since you was a kid. And she was like, you looking real good, son, real good. And I was like, Aunt Harriet, we're at your mom's wake.
Oh, my God!
It rules. It fucking ruled.
Aunt Hair, got to get it in. I mean,
yeah, dude, wherever you got to.
I
it's
get
like,
it.
Keep it moving. Let it fly.
Yeah.
Dude, love who you love.
It's
be
not
a
flag,
do whatever
but
you
sure.
want. Let your cooch flag fly. Yeah. The only other really funny thing about... my grandma's funeral, because it was like
excellent segue. Excellent
there was like
segue.
A couple funny things, but like the main thing that was really funny was there was like so much old school family blackness coming back together that at my grandma's funeral, they were like, all right, we just want to open up the room. And if we need only 4 people, please keep it to 1 minute. If you want to just get up here and say something because we got a time constraint, we can only afford this. And so one of my cousins got up on stage and he was like, look, really sad. She passed away.
Okay. All right. That sounds
really
like
sad, right?
Like, that sounds suspect.
Right. So
we're all just okay.
like
okay. Okay.
gripping our tights and stockings. Like, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
He was like, but as y'all know, one of my really good friends and business partners is a Shaolin master. And we were like, what?
Oh my God.
And I was just like, go on, like in between tears. And he was like, y'all know I'm an entrepreneur. My grandmother.
Yeah.
And he was like, so if any of y'all want to get y'all health right, meet me after the funeral.
No.
I'll be by my trunk of my car.
Oh, my God.
And I will get y'all some herbs.
No.
And it was like, don't promote, like, your fucking Herbalife business.
Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with you?
It was really funny. And my dad was, like, sort of keeping the whole funeral moving.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad is, like, this big black guy, like, bodyguard kind of guy.
Yeah.
And you could just see him, like... slowly moving towards the microphone to like get my cousin off of the fucking mic. My dad was like, okay, okay, okay. And I was like, sorry, dad, but this is hilarious. It's crazy, too, because he was, like, the one cousin who, like, celebrated Kwanzaa. So it was, like, tight.
Yeah.
Cool, I support you. But this, it was, like, just so off the goddamn rails. It was like, you done lost your damn mind.
All right, we should get this show started.
We're, like, about to fucking go protest outside or something. Like. Let's get this show started. Y'all ready? We have so many great comics tonight, and some cool shit we got going on.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up our next act. She's very, very funny. She has a hit podcast out called Hopefully We Don't Break Up. Please give it up for Julia Rossi! Wonderful. Do you all live in New York? Is this mostly in New York? Okay, cool. Yes. I've lived here like a little over 10 years now, and I'll say my favorite thing is probably that things are open late. That's always really nice because a lot of times late at night, sometimes I'll get like a little ice cream at the deli. And whenever I do that, I always make sure to also buy condoms so that nobody thinks that I'm lonely. But this is the thing, whenever I get the ice cream late at night, the deli guy always says something smart. He'll be like, oh, big plans? And I'm like, no, okay? It's fish food, frozen yogurt. I don't have big plans. However, when someone buys an assault rifle, nothing, right? That's when you ask big plans. I'm alone and eating ice cream. Someone buys an army weapon. You say, what the fuck are you doing with that? Leave me alone. So I get very overwhelmed with all the issues with the guns and sexism and racism and all that stuff. I mean, that's all you can, I feel like that's all I can do at times, just write tweets, or I don't know how to help. And I don't want to be online so much. Like, it's overwhelming. Like, there's no more privacy online, you know? I love that banks still think that our mother's maiden names are good security passwords. I could Google all of your mother's maiden names right now. If a bank really wants to protect my money, ask a question nobody knows the answer to, like, what will make my father proud of me? You know, something that nobody can figure out. I am proud, though. I feel like I've definitely gotten better with the internet. I've been doing one thing I'm proud of on the internet less. I've been not looking at my ex-husband's profile very much anymore. Thank you so much. You guys, no, but I do look at his new wife's profile almost every day. And and her mom and her mom's friend and her mom's daughter. It's a weird hole that I've fallen into, but her cousin is in some trouble. No, but I actually had the nicest divorce ever. Right after I got divorced, I immediately started dating an unemployed ghost hunter, and that is 100% true. Is anyone hear that? Is anyone cool? What I learned from that was that, did you know you don't have to get into a relationship with everyone that you have sex with? You can just fuck them and not move in with them and their mom. Did you know that? You can just be independent. I didn't know that. I get attached. I don't know. I've never really been good at casual sex, which whenever I say that, I just imagine people in sweatpants humping, just being like, totes cash, you know? Because, like, here's the thing with casual sex, and I don't want to speak for all straight women, but for me, sometimes I'll have casual sex with someone, we hook up, I have no feelings for them afterwards, and it's great, I did it. But then other times I'll have casual sex with someone, and I don't want to have feelings for them. But then their penis goes in my body, and it touches my heart. And I'm like, I love you. Oh, I love you so much. Like, the oxytocin and the chemical. And you just came into my life, you know, like literally. And I don't want you to go, you know, just stay. I just send a text, you know, like, how do you not contact someone the next day? Like, I contact, like, whether it's sex or I had coffee with a friend, I always send a text the next day saying had so much fun, but my phone always autocorrects it to all caps, please, please don't ever abandon me, you know, and it's like, phones, right? They know everything. I just, I'm in a new relationship now, and he's wonderful. I've been trying to get him to talk dirty during sex, but he's like, I love you. I'm like, stop for like a few minutes. Just stop. He's like, what do you want me to say? I'm like, say something mean. I really don't feel comfortable. I'm like, say something mean. I really don't want to. I'm like, say something mean. He's like, you cry too much. And I'm like, oh my God. Why would you say that to me? And then I have an orgasm. And works every time. What's too much? I don't know. I cry twice a week. What's everyone's CPWs? Cries per week. Just throw out a number. I'm at 2 because I went 3. 2. Okay, we got a 3. We got 4. Okay, 3 wins. Kind of. I love to cry. It is like taking like a shit out of your face. It's such a relief. Feels so good. It feels so... If I could just do a 10-minute set of crying, I would. Like, I just love to cry. I love it so much. And I feel so bad for men because they're not encouraged to cry as much as... Well, I guess it's a little different because we're in Brooklyn, so guys here probably cry and write songs, and you're just like, oh, let me get my guitar and weep, you know? But I don't know. I guess I suffer from a little, depression. Really, it's my friends that suffer because they have to hear me talk about it all the time. And I don't know. I get anxious and upset. You know, like I just had a birthday. Like that was like overwhelming as a woman, you know, because like people will say to me like, oh, age ain't nothing but a number. I'm like, that affects your fertility. You know, like there's science. Okay. Like, thanks for the bumper sticker, but there's science. And I don't even know if I want kids, but I want the option to have them. And so right now, my boyfriend and I, we just do the pullout because whatever. And when he goes to celebrate on my body, I use baby wipes to clean it up, which feels too on the nose. You know what I mean? Like, it's, literally, it's all over my face. But Like, I'm just wiping away my potential children. I'm like, goodbye, Samantha, you know. See you later, Giovanni. I'm just flushing the future down the toilet. Thank you so much.
Give it up for Giulia Rossi.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/DopeQueens today to get 10% off your first month.
Good.
That's great. We like met a very cool, beautiful black lady last night, and it ruled.
We met Solange last night.
We died. Our buddy Sashir Zameda, big friend of Two Dope Queens, wonderful comedian, and she's on SNL, but she invited us to go see Benedict Cumberbatch, because y'all know I was smashed. And
Benny
Solange,
because
y'all know I was smashed.
And it was great.
It was
Benny,
so good.
Benny Combs was super cute.
He was like being funny. Like you could tell he like loved being there, you know? He had fun. He had wigs.
He's like very lean and like, you know,
muscular.
Eats a lot of turkey jerk. I like that.
What did you say?
Turkey jerk. He makes a lot of like healthy choices.
Stop saying turkey jerk.
Turkey jerk. You don't like turkey jerk?
I just don't like how much you say it to me.
But yeah, it was amazing. Beyonce was there just like singing along.
And it was like cute because like when Solange was up, we got to kind of go out like on the lower half of the stage. So the stage was right in front of us. And so Beyonce and Jay-Z were like very close to us. And I was like hyper aware of that. Like, right. I was like, am I breathing correctly? I shouldn't fart. And like Beyonce was like singing along. She was like mouthing everything. And Solange
really
was fucking amazing and was doing these crazy dance moves. And then it was over. And like her whole family was just like, because like Miss Tina was there.
Yeah, it was really cute. And then we just did like pictures with her and then like video where we just told her that she was amazing. She was like, "Oh, you guys, stop it!"
And we were like, "We'll never stop.
Yeah,
we'll never
you're
stop.
Amazing." And then
we all like touched each other because we were taking a photo,
yeah.
And it was very much like, you know, the end of Waiting to Exhale when they go to the freeze frame.
Yeah.
And then they run the credits and it was like, there comes a time.
And like, we're all magically in silk pajamas. Like, it was just great.
Shoo. Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was a super fun night. It was like a dream come true. And I told my parents about it today and they were like, "Oh my God, you're a celebrity." And I was like, "No, Solange is a celebrity."
Dude,
I stood
we
next
were like
to
celebs.
A celebrity.
We were celebs last night. Yesterday, you flew into Austin, promoted your New York...
On Southwest.
Dude, you gotta get to Austin.
On Southwest.
Southwest is the friendly airline. Don't dump on them.
And you know what was so... I fucking hate flying Southwest because... Here's why. The plane's great. The snacks, fine.
The snacks, popping.
The Wi-Fi.
Have you
always...
ever said that in your life? Like any plane ride, like the snacks, popping.
But so every time I fly Southwest, I'm always like, I get like a medium price ticket. And then I show up. I'm like, "Yo, put me in priority A, pay the extra $40. I never pay so much up front.
I like
right?
your moves.
So I'm very savvy that way. No one else has figured that out.
You gotta game the system, baby.
Right. And every time I stay in the A group, I always get upgraded to priority A 1 through 5. I'm like, that's what I want.
Right.
First. Every time I do this, there is always some white guy checking my motherfucking plane ticket, being like, "Are you sure you're in the right line?" "Yes, I am, bitch." This is, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, we are all fucking flying Southwest. Like,
this
we
literally,
are all
like,
doing
we're not on Mark Cuban's, like, second private plane.
Exactly. It's fucking Southwest.
This isn't trying to get bottle service at the fucking towel.
Yeah. And so every time, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like A group, and they're always like, "Oh, sorry. And I'm like,
fuck,
I'm like,
you.
Check every other white person's ticket first and then check mine.
I recently like took a train. I took the Amtrak.
Ooh, nice.
And I got like a first class ticket on the Amtrak.
Love it.
And I was like, walking, and like two white dudes with their dumbass rolly ass backpacks and their suits got on first, and there was this like Midwestern haircut sort of white lady checking tickets. She didn't check tickets for them, and then I get up there and she's like, and I was like, "Yes, I am." So all she did was just like gesture to me and just go,
"Like, are you sure this is for
it
you?"
It was like, "Yes, bitch, this is Amtrak."
Yeah.
Fucking, the only difference here is I'm going to get, like, two bags of peanuts instead of
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's tried. Insane. When I flew back, on my way back, I was flying American, I think. And so I get to my seat. And so I always get the window seat because I like to lean up and drool and sleep. And that's my...
Beautiful.
And there was this white dude sitting in my seat, and I was like, "Hey, hi, sorry." And like, as a woman, I'm still instinctually like apologizing for breathing. I was like,
it's like what we're trained to do. Is
I'm
like,
conditioning. I'm so sorry for being alive right now, but I pay for this seat.
It's just conditioning. That's nobody's fault. It's just conditioning.
So sorry, I'm still breathing. And I was like, "This is my seat." And he goes, "Oh, you like? Do you want the window seat?" And I was like. Wait, oh, you want the window seat?
Bitch, I paid for it.
Yeah! 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 Yes. So I was like, yeah, no, that's a seat that I ordered. Yeah, I want that seat. And he was like, "Oh, no worries." Like, he's doing me a favor for getting the fuck out of my seat?
Man, the patriarchy's alive and well.
It sucks, dude.
Spirit of Satan. We love white dudes, though.
It's a complicated relation.
It is, honestly, because it's like...
It's like...
Every single time we, like, obviously go and kiss you, there's a little bit of half a flash of, like, oh, what about my ancestors? What about Southwest? But we do it anyway.
Yeah.
We show up.
Yeah. So get the fuck out of my seat. When you know that's not your... He knew that wasn't his seat.
He playing games.
With his stupid skateboard and... Fuck that guy. Fucking Tyler. I'm fucking blind. Fucking Tyler, dude.
It's always a Tyler to fucking make your day a little bit more boo-boo.
Should we do our thing?
Yeah. Let's bring out our next guest.
We have a very, very special guest in the house tonight. Woo! Y'all are gonna die.
You guys are literally gonna shit yourselves. But yeah, our special guest is, he's amazing. I mean, he's been on, you know, he was a writer for SNL.
Yeah.
He, 30 Rock.
Yes, he was on Letterman. Mm-hmm. He's an actor. He's in the movie Neighbors.
He's on Broad City. There he was.
You may know him from his current tour, the Hannibal Montanable tour.
Oh, all right.
What's up, Hannibal?
Oh, my God.
How's it going? Well, that felt nice.
How are you doing, Hannibal?
I'm good.
Congratulations on everything that's been going on with you. You're just killing it right now. It's amazing.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So you're currently on the road right now.
I'm on the road, yeah.
How touring. Is that going? Is there a lot of snatch or just fucking?
Like flying at you? Like flying at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, that's a pretty simple question.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
A lot of empty sex. It's weird, man.
So what is it? Because we're ladies, and sometimes we take T-Dope Queens on the show, but like, I mean on the road, but like when we're done like in D.C., no one's like, oh, we want to fuck you.
We go and get like mozzarella sticks at TGI Fridays.
Right.
And nobody.
They're like, can we be friends? But I feel like with male comedians, it's like, gobble, gobble, gobble. Yeah. You know what I mean? So what is it like? Because that... to transition into that phase of your career where it is easy, really
to get
easy.
Gobbled.
Yeah,
it's really it's fascinating. It's tough to it's tough to handle, especially if you have the emotional maturity of a 15-year-old. But I do like to fuck and they like a story, so we help each other out.
It's really cool that it works out.
Any interesting stories that you could share?
It was this. I caught girls trying to take pictures of me while I'm sleeping and shit.
Wait, post-coital.
Like in the morning type shit. Like,
wow.
What do you do? Like, do you act like you're asleep? Do you just let it happen?
No, I grab her phone, delete the shit, and get her the fuck out of there. You have to go.
Good for you.
I don't feel safe around you.
That's crazy. That's a crazy violation of your space.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, so I just, it's all sad. You ever been ashy on TV and regretted it?
Yes.
Yes, me too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Like, my ankles...
Yes,
like,
the bottom of your feet.
They'll throw on a sandal on you.
Yeah.
And then they'll get me. Like, sometimes the girls will come and just, like, get you lotion.
Yeah.
But this right here, that gets away from me. And these, like, in my hands.
Yeah.
These little corners.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Were you recently ashy on TV?
But I've had it happen, and I've been like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
Ashiness in the black community, it's like you could, it's like killing a person. If you were ashy on TV, you could have done something amazing. Oh, he got the Oscar. Yeah, he was ashy though. When he got the Oscar. You should have asked Oscar for some lotion. In my first special, in my first TV special, Animal Furnace, I had a button-up shirt on, but it was at the rolled up at the sleeves, and then I like it was just peeking out on my elbows, ash on the elbow, and I had to edit around that shit. I was like, and let's go with the close-up again. Let's do the close-up on that. Yep, close-up. We should go wide right there. No, let's keep a close-up right there. People need to see my shoulders and my face. Let's keep it all shoulders and face.
Yeah. My big thing is I feel like there's so much vulnerability and ashiness, like with intimacy. It's like if I'm ashy in front of you, you know, that's really intimate for me.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing the real me.
Like when we saw Beyonce on Saturday at SNL, she was ashy. I'd be like, we are the same person.
Yeah. Right.
We have accomplished the equal amount of things in life.
It takes you down.
It takes her down. It takes 27 down. Rungs on the ladder. I did a Tavis Smiley recently, and I was wearing like a strappy heel.
Yeah.
And I didn't get like the bottom of my feet. So I know, and I was talking to Tav, and he didn't notice, but I was like, I'm on a black TV show.
It's like so disrespectful to do that on Tavis Smiley.
Yeah, I know. I fucked up.
Like Conan, it's fine.
Yeah. But
I just think it's not even about, it's just you can't be fully just chill if you know you ashy. It's like, you can't be as creative. The thoughts don't flow the same. I want to try to normalize ashiness, though, and like,
I don't know how. I mean, you got to get, you know, some icons on board with it.
Maybe
pronto.
You can be the trendsetter. Like, you could start this movement.
I don't know. Something about the airport makes me ashy. Like, I'll put on lotion at my place or at the hotel, and then when I get to TSA, somehow I'm ashy all of a sudden. I'm like, what the hell is happening? And then I have to dip back and fall back a little bit and put lotion on because I don't want the TSA to know me. They be like, Hannibal Buress, ashy than a motherfucker. So
they'll remember that shit too. Yeah. Like, you didn't tip.
He was super ashy. Yeah, I saw him. Nice guy. Nice guy. Kind of cold. Very ashy.
Hannibal, the next time you do this show, you should just be like mad ashy.
Yeah, just
even like on your face.
Yeah.
Can't do it. I haven't hit that part of my career yet. Kevin Hart can try to pull off ashy. He has that power. I still have to...
Once you get your tennis shoe, then ask for Michelle.
Yeah.
So what's been your favorite place that you've been to on the road? Like, you liked Australia?
I love going to New Orleans. I just like going anywhere where something to do after the show, because I'm not one to just go to bed or go back to the room, so I like to go see music. New Orleans is a fun time. Also, I started DJing after my shows.
Nice.
Wait, you're a DJ now? That's awesome.
My DJ name is?
No, what is it?
DJ Burger Feet.
Wait.
What's the story?
DJ Burger Feet?
DJ Burger Feet.
Why?
Yeah.
How? What was the process of choosing names? Like, what didn't make the cut?
I think I just went with Burger Feet right away. That was it. That was first choice.
You just impulse.
Yeah, went with my gut. Burger Feet. That was because I got very ugly feet that look like kind of hamburger meat a little bit. So, DJ Burger Feet.
I love the idea of you like dropping a hot track and it's like DJ Burger.
DJ Burger Feet. I got decent song selection, but I'm bad at blending. But people tolerate it because they like my comedy or whatever, so they act like the shit is really popular and shit.
And you accept it still,
I'm like,
too.
Yeah, whatever. This is fake, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's very stop and start and that shit.
Yeah, so, like, does the track fade out on its own?
Sometimes I got little tricks. I got a couple tricks that I use now to get into a track. You know, I'll hit that air horn about 6 times, and then... And then I'll blend into a track off of that. Or like if it's a partner song where everybody sings that hook, I'll fade that out and everybody sing it. Then I'll bring in the other track off of that. One of our favorite moves is just playing Damn Son to Damn Son, Where to Find This, but we play that over huge songs that everybody knows, like Britney Spears' Toxic. Damn Son, Where to Find This.
Wow. I just hope there are like DJs out there like livid at you.
Yeah, this is like so disrespectful.
Because they train for years.
Disrespectful.
And you're just like air horning away and you're uber successful. Yeah.
Listen, air horn, I'm having fun trying to live my third best life.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we gotta wrap up, but yeah. I wanna get some words of wisdom from you, Hannibal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You
You're so funny, and you're so sweet, and you're so supportive. Like, a lot of you guys don't know this, but, like, you're very supportive of up-and-coming comics. And I remember when I was, like, starting out, you, like, would throw me up on your show when I, you know, had, like, maybe 4.5 jokes. And you just were, like... But you just do that with a lot of comedians, especially those of color in New York, which is really nice. There are not always shows for us. But you've achieved so much. Like, you've had a Netflix special, you're on TV shows, and, like, you're touring the country. Like, what are some, like, words of wisdom you can leave Jess and I with?
Just have fun. Have fun. Save. Invest.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well. All right, well, Hannibal, thank you for dropping by.
Thank you all for having me. This is fun. Thanks a lot.
Super, super funny. You probably know him from his amazing show that used to be in Brooklyn, is now in LA, called Big Terrific. And he's also been featured on NBC's The Good Place. Please give it up for Max Silvestri!
Keep it going for the people you really came to see. How's it going, guys? What's up, Brooklyn? Dope, good energy. I'm excited to be back. I lived here for 9 years. I don't anymore. I'm staying in Brooklyn Heights this weekend, where I've never lived. Does anyone live in Brooklyn Heights? Yeah, I feel like you guys would be on a private jet somewhere if you lived in fucking Brooklyn Heights. I was walking behind these two young women talking, and one of them said, you know, the problem is, if you have a country house, you have to go to it every weekend. And I was like... That is the problem, and it's very likable to say that out loud and let me overhear it. And, like, I was texting that to someone being like, I mean, that's like a cartoon of an overheard rich Brooklyn person. And then I was, like, getting coffee at this place across from my Airbnb, and this woman was talking about how she is happy to let her nanny teach Portuguese to her son. And then she got, like, whispery voice. There was no one in the restaurant. And she was just like, but I just heard my son say, I don't want no cookies. And I had to sit her down and just have a talk about we don't use English. That I was like, it's the one moment I wish I had guns. You're garbage. But you guys are great. it's also nice you guys to come out on a Sunday. We're missing our shows. I love Westworld. Are you guys into it? So good, so good. It takes place in the future, and there's a giant Wild West theme park, and rich people go there to just do whatever they want. So it's like, if you're rich in the future and you want to have sex with a prostitute, but also shit in a bucket, you go to Westworld because you don't have buckets in your house or whatever. I don't know. And the point of the show, and what I really like about it, is that it's kind of this, like, morality thing of, like, people go to Westworld of, like, what sort of person would you be if you could do whatever you wanted? Like, it's the true test of a man or a woman to, like, find out who they are at Westworld. It's like, are you a good guy or are you a bad guy? And it's a bummer for me personally to watch because I, like, know my own energy. And I would not be either a good guy or a bad guy. That's not my vibe. My vibe is more, I'd be a very polite guest at Westworld. I'm that sort of dude that, like, you know, my vibe is nice manners, you know? Like, I'd be the cowboy that always has chapstick. which isn't that fun. I get why they don't film that for the show. Like, even when I was a kid, I was the sort of, like, if I got invited to a sleepover, my goal was to definitely make sure the mom liked me. You know, like, my priorities were off. I was an only child. My dad was older. I kind of was old-fashioned. Like, all the kids would be, like, 11:30 at night in the dark in a circle, like, whispering, trying to, like, crowdsource how fingering works or whatever. No. I heard there's something you push or whatever they're talking about. And I would just, like, come up from my sleeping bag and, like, pull off my sleep mask and just be like, guys, are your swatches broken? Because I'm pretty sure that Eric's mom said lights out at 11. And anyway, thanks for this adventure. I am uncomfortable with other straight males, so I don't have straight male friends. Their energy's weird. Maybe it's because I'm like Catholic guilt, self-loathing. I just do not think we need more than one of them in any place at one time. And look, I'm an asshole. Like, I want to be the one, but like anytime there's more, I'm just like, I don't know how to navigate this. Like, I don't know what we want to talk about. Like, my straight guy small talk is bananas. Like, if my girlfriend sets up a double date with someone that I've, like, known for a while, and then, like, they disappear for a minute, I just become like, well, boo. I'm so glad we have a second without these ladies around. I'm so glad that, like, my partner and best friend is just somewhere else so that I can really just connect with you because we're so similar. But, I have been meaning to... How long have you been the height you are now? When did you stop growing? That's a normal question, right? Anyway, it's cool how your shoelaces are so tight. I bet those shoes never fall off. Anyway, I just got a text message that says, I need to piss for the whole rest of the night, so goodbye. I live in L.A. now. Yeah, it's fine. I was worried living in New York for a long time that the food would be very bad. And because the food in New York is so good, do you guys like to eat? It's so chill. You guys are so chill. I do it every day. But LA has like all the same type of stuff now. I mean, like the ethnic food in LA is like amazing and way better than, you know, Manhattan and Brooklyn. But LA now has like, it's true. Yeah, whatever. But the one thing that's not as good is, like, L.A. now has a lot of those, like, weird kind of fake, hip, white people, sort of fancy, kind of not restaurants that, like, we all go to and forget 5 seconds after we go. Like, basically any city, I feel like, if you're in Portland, Detroit, any city where there's at least 10 people under 20 who, like, work in social media, like, any kind of city at that level has this sort of restaurant that all looks the same and they're all called, like, the Edison or Forage or Crumb or whatever the shit, and you get there and everyone that works there just thinks there's no other restaurants like that, and they're just like, hey, have you ever dined with us before? And there's like so much mischief in their voice. We are one of a kind. And whatever answer you give, they don't care. They're like, actually two of us have, but this is her first time. They're like, great, doesn't matter, why did I ask anyway? Would love to tell you a little about what we do here at the restaurant. So kind of our philosophy is we're all about taking ingredients and then preparing them and serving them. So that's sort of the organizing principle, is we just let them speak for themselves, except in cases when we don't. So it's complicated. Yeah, the chef's sort of vision for the meal is that everyone spends about $80, but not be full. So that's kind of a good guiding principle. Yeah, everything's kind of built to share, you know, but in a way that makes no sense. So like, you're five people. If you were to order this, this is great for sharing, but there's going to be three of them that come out and they're impossible to cut. So we find the lowest common multiple of everything we serve you. I highly recommend this ravioli for the table. You'll have to cut it into 24 tiny pieces to make this be fair at all. But let me kind of explain how the menu works. I don't know if you've ever eaten at a restaurant. A menu is basically, it's a list of things you order, but ours is kind of a little different. It starts small, real small, like super tiny. Like it's one bite for a tiny little person, but it only costs $5, so it feels like it's a deal. And then it gets super big. We have a hamburger, though that's not our deal at all, but it feels like a deal because it's only $17, and that's ridiculous that you would pay that. And then we have two things that cost $200, and that's just kind of a funny joke among ourselves because why would you ever pay that much money for a pork chop? But just a heads up, it does take about 40 minutes for the kitchen to prepare that because there's, you know, 30 minutes to cook that large piece of meat, but 10 minutes where they all just laugh that anyone would spend that much on something you could just cook at home. But yeah, I don't mean to tell you how to eat. A lot of people like to start with the shishito peppers, which are really great. They're fun. They're a fun thing to split if you like condoms filled with rock salt. So just kind of do whatever you want. My name's Mike. If you need anything, though, my shift did just end, even though it's 6:30, and that's crazy. Why would it end now? But a lot of other strangers will be out to be rude to you. Thank you so much for dining here. We only split cards two ways, and tip is included, but we also leave a line for tip to just kind of make that even more fraught. Whatever choice you make, you will feel bad. Anyway, thanks so much. Goodbye. All right, I'm Max Silvestri. Thank you guys very much.
Give it up for Max Silvestri!
You just heard Max Silvestri, Hannibal Buress, and Julia Razzi.
This is our last episode, y'all. But don't worry, we'll be back for season three. Yeah, we ain't going anywhere.
Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Saltaroff, Jim Poyant, Paul. Well, you know, I want to take my time. This is the last outro.
Aw.
You guys, kick on some of that sensual music. Here we go. Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Saltaroff, Jim Poyant, Paula Schumann, and Rachel Neal. Our team includes Joe Plord. I'm still waiting for you, Joe. Matt.
Wrap it the fuck up.
Matt Boynton, Ed Haber, George Wellington, Alex Overington, Isaac Jones, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Broski. And Jeff, I'm also waiting for you.
Also, like us on Facebook. You can keep up with what we're up to when we're not making podcasts all the damn time. And you can get tickets to live shows and other cool stuff.
Totes. And rate us on iTunes. Let us know what you thought of the season. And as always, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. One last thing, babies. I've got tickets on sale for two solo events, guys. Two. You can catch me at the Tomorrow Never Knows Festival in Chicago on Saturday, January 14th. Deep Dish Pizza. And at San Francisco Sketch Fest on Saturday, January 28th. What's San Francisco known for? Rice-A-Roni. Hi, hi. So go to tudopqueens.org and click on upcoming shows for tickets. Thanks so much. Let's get them ticket sales. Okay, talk to you later. Love you, mean it. Bye.
All right. Smell you later, poopsicles.
And also, for the final time this season, YQY.
Oh, fuck that.
YQY.
Oh, no.
Yes, fucking. Who's the too close?
Next. I wonder if she can tell I'm getting hard right now.
It's a crazy...
It's a wild
so,
premise.
You would never put that song out right now because it'd be obscene.
It's so obscene. I'm going to play it right now. Because I listen to it three times a day.
I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now.
I'm going to play it again.
I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now.
Stop.
Oh
my God, this is my Clockwork Orange. Oh my God, stop.
Keep your eyes open. I wonder if she can tell I'm getting hard right now.
That's crazy.
Of course she can.
And we danced to that in like middle school.
Our parents allowed that in elementary school.
Oh God.